Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
You're a missile. How are you going to turn in the worst performance of the year and still extend your lead at the top of the table? Welcome to 20 Minute Tims. I'm your host, Jamie. And to discuss it, I'm joined by Melly.
Yes.
And Stephen.
What's happening?
Oh, my God. Well, this podcast, as of... Well, when did Rangers play yesterday?
Yeah.
As of yesterday, the forecast for this podcast completely changed direction because you guys put out an absolutely fantastic post-match, match reaction at the match podcast, which you can get on patreon.com/20minutetims. You can support us there. You get extra podcasts, videos and writing. Keep the lights on in here. Get everything you enjoy, patreon.com/20minutetims. You can support us for a month and it costs less than a match day programme. Links are below. Links are everywhere. Get involved. But I listened to it. It was absolutely fantastic. I was filled with rage about how bad that performance was. I thought you guys nailed the tone. Then I watched the last 10 minutes of the Rangers game and I thought, oh, here we go.
Yeah, about that. Can we have the word extends edited into the image of the podcast title I had in my mind coming away from the Motherwell game? Can we have the word extends put in there instead? Yeah.
How do you, you're talking about the lead. The lead in the league was extended. Melly, I thought to myself, like, after the Motherwell game, the performance was bad.
What?
We're going to talk about it all. We're obviously going to talk about it all. The performance was bad. The result was worse. I'm like, right, okay, God, if Rangers go and win, that reduces it. If they beat us, and I've got worst case scenarios running through my head. And then I was reminded about how bad they are. But we'll get to Rangers. We're obviously going to preview also the upcoming Glasgow Derby semi-final. That'll be previewed in full on this match, on this podcast rather. But I think it's only right, as a Celtic fans podcast, we will do some laughing at Rangers, but we need to talk about Celtic, Melly, and we need to maybe talk about why you think that performance against Motherwell was so bad.
Yeah, it's bad to Celtic's high standards. Again, they have set themselves this season, but that's fine. We're doing this on a week-to-week basis, so we can judge it on this game. Yes, we can say it's only, what, two draws and a loss so far this season, but we're wanting them to beat that points record that Brendan Rodgers got. So I think they need a 100% record for the rest of the season now to do that.
And that streak as well, we were talking about last week. It was 17 games, equaled it. Yeah, that's good, but could have broken it with that one.
Would have been nice, but it wasn't to be. But the performance has sort of not been coming, but Celtic haven't been firing all cylinders recently. And this one felt like a damaging one because of what's coming up this week, the big semi-final. So why was the performance? It was passive. It was just one of those ones where you thought, it felt a bit like games last season where you felt this might not happen for Celtic, whereas this season, I think we've scored at least two goals in every home game domestically. So it just didn't feel like a Celtic of this season performance. We will forgive them. We did extend the lead. It's all that, but it was disappointing on the day. And you can look to certain players and say, you had a chance there to really claim a place for the game next week, and I don't know if you've done it. So we do have a few selection headaches now.
I mean, we weren't firing on all syllables, Stephen. I think that's easy to see. And part of me was thinking the performance was very flat. A lot of the players that we have dropped in to replace the missing players, you know, we said last week on the podcast that there's a big game coming up and it's your opportunity to stake a case, stake a claim for starting these games that you want to. Don't think anyone's really doing that. So, and I think that comes into it. But there was also an element of thinking that maybe maybe we overlooked Motherwell a wee bit. Maybe we thought, you know, the league's going to take care of itself anyway. It's only a matter of, you know, ticking the games off. Whether or not there's a motivation to beat the records, who knows? But maybe we just took our eye off the ball ever so slightly with the Motherwell game, and we were focusing too much on the Rangers game.
It's entirely possible. I mean, I'd like to, as fans, you like to hope not. You like to hope that all games are important and all games are the focus there and then, never mind, or you hope that players don't look past it. I suppose it's only really human nature. If we've been talking about how the league's been wrapped up for weeks and weeks, maybe that does sort of seep into the players' mentality a little bit. Now, that's not to say that they've completely chucked it and they're on the beach by now, but maybe it was probably just time for just one of those blips to happen. We've had so few of them this season. It's hard to criticise the team, and we are, as Millie said, we are only really responding to the game we've just seen. We're not really reading
because over the course of a league season, a 1-1 draw Motherwell home, you don't remember it.
No, it's immaterial, really. Of course, it was more the performance. I said after the game in our, as you mentioned, our At The Match podcast, that there's no way Ange is happy with that, because see if we'd gone out there, played that Ange style that we all know and love and what and really enjoy watching, and we come away with a 1-1 draw at home to Motherwell, I think he's fine with that. Over the course, I mean, he's never happy with that, a result that isn't a win, but I think he would come away with that thinking, right, well, we did everything that I want us to do, it just didn't happen on the day. But that performance, I would not describe as optimal Celtic at all. I just think it was one of those games where it just didn't feel right at all. Mm-hmm. The first half absolutely flew in with very, very little incident, apart from the goal, of course. But then the second half dragged in, absolutely dragged in, because of some of the antics the Motherwell players were up to, which boiled my blood, to say the least. But, you know, we'll get into that. But it just, overall, just didn't really feel very Celtic on the day at all.
Yeah, you said that, Melly, on the At The Match podcast. You said Andy would probably be happy if we played the way he wanted to play but didn't get the result. But I think the most disappointing aspect of the whole game was it wasn't really the way we want to play. It was kind of like, I don't know, like a bad copy of a Celtic team. We weren't really... I know it's a bit of a catch-all and it doesn't really describe what you're watching, but we just weren't at it.
No, it's difficult to put your... pinpoint why it didn't happen, because we did have the players there. The players, a lot of them have been playing... All right.
Well,
recently,
let me ask you a question. Let me throw some ideas at you. Did it not happen because Rio Hatate didn't play? And is he a much bigger miss than we maybe previously anticipated?
Possibly. I think I don't know if it's Rio Hatate or it's just that wee bit of creative spark in midfield. Of course, Hatate's brilliant, but I came away from the game thinking, do you know what? See if we had Hatate or Rogic in there, we'd have won that game. Just somebody that could find that pass to open them up. I thought Matt O'Reilly was one of the better midfielders, but Callum McGregor and Iwata there, like, I understand why they played, because it's probably a dress rehearsal for the game next week and it's just to get game time in these guys. But at home to Motherwell, is it necessary having two holding midfielders there? I'm not sure. On top of that, Turnbull's not been great. So I think it has that creative spark we miss. Yes, if Hatate was playing, I think he made a difference against Motherwell already this season. So he's great, he's brilliant to watch, but I think it was that creative spark. It could have been Hatate, it could have been somebody else, but just that one pass that maybe Motherwell don't expect, because we could slaughter Motherwell later for all the time wasting, but they were compact and they did things very well in the defensive style of play. So not the best football to watch, but from them it wasn't just boot it away all the time. They did have a plan going in there. So I think it was just a bit of them stifling Celtic and Celtic not having that wee X factor to open them up.
If you look at that game as, broadly speaking, a blip, which I think we can all agree it was in the course
they'll
of
created
a...
created enough chances.
Over the course of a very successful season, if we call that just a blip, but then you can try and dig into the reasons, look a wee bit further into it. The good thing about it is that these blips are such a small sample size that any connection between the games is basically just leaping to conclusions that probably aren't there. You mentioned Rio Hatate, and he didn't play in this. And I have wondered at various points this season whether the midfield can really truly function without Rio Hatate. We've got good players in there, but he is the guy that kind of makes it tick. The other really poor performance this season. Yeah, drew at Ibrox, but that's not terrible. No. It wasn't a particularly great performance on the day, but I don't include that in the poor performances this season. We're really only looking at two, and it was Saturday there in St Mirren. Real Hatate didn't play in that one either. But again, you're looking at two games. You could tie those two games together and say, well, Real Hatate is the connection there, but there are so many other things that can happen. over the course of a season, that looking at two games, it's so encouraging, in fact.
Well, it's either that, well, there is either that or, you know, it's either the small sample size or it's as much of a sample you need. The two games that Rio didn't play were the two worst games that we've played all season.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think Jota never started that game either. No. So if you're looking at players in the team, yes, we have Kyogo and Cal McGregor, but they're not. Kyogo finishes chances, Cal McGregor starts things from a bit deeper, but Hatate and Jota are the ones that create things for Celtic, the ones that maybe create something out of nothing, whereas we just didn't have that. We're looking at guys like Haksabanovic to do that, and looking at him again, another missed opportunity for him, just doesn't look right out on the right hand side. It dies in Maeda, you know what you're going to get from him, but it's not creative. Iwata was decent again, but he's not going to be the guy that finds those passes. So just Celtic maybe lacked a wee bit of creativity. It's something that maybe thought no real replacement for Rogic last year, but Aaron Moyes came in, had a lot of assists, had a lot of goals. He's been very good, but he's not really been on it recently either. So it's just one of those games that just sort of got away from Celtic. But when you watch back the highlights, we had clear chances to win the game. And I'm just really tired of Carter Vickers, but more so Starfelt. Head the ball into the goal, mate.
Yeah, I mean, our attacking set pieces aren't great. I mean, how many has Starfelt scored this season?
Yeah, he scored two in a row in very, very early this season. Yeah. He came back after that injury and scored two in two consecutive games. And I think those are his only goals for Celtic so far. But again, yeah, I was frustrated with that one he had. He had two big headers towards the end. One was
he's going to score against Rangers.
Good. Well, there we go. That's a first prediction. That seals off our preview of that. He had two big headers from crosses. One was just a standard header. One was from a Moy free kick, I think. Well, it was a decent header, but it was straight down the keeper's throat, as the cliche goes, just caught it. But one was from Rocco Vatta's cross, I'm pretty sure. And he didn't have to jump. It wasn't like he jumped and was off balance. He set himself both feet in the ground scooped it, if you can scoop it with your head.
Scooped
it straight over the bar, and that was very, very frustrating. Again, Melly said we've created enough chances to win that game, definitely. Had a quite a bad header, he probably should have scored, but even that, watching it back, he was off balance. It was close range, but it wasn't, he didn't have the same sort of setting of himself as Starfelt did. So a quite a frustrating game. It was quite a bad performance, but we're only judging it on Celtic standards here.
I mean, on the midfield, you wonder if there's maybe something that Celtic could change a wee bit, Melly, because, as you say, McGregor and Iwata in those deep positions, Matt O'Reilly's okay, but he's not the most creative. He's not going to thread the pass, but I know Callum McGregor can do that. If you want to have a wee bit of a reshuffle, Matt O'Reilly filled in for McGregor in that deeper position earlier on the season. They played fantastically well. So you think to say, well, is there an option to play McGregor a wee bit deeper, a wee bit more forward rather, because he can play in that number 10. You've got O'Reilly and Iwata playing deep, because I think if Rio Tati's not available to play and Aaron Moy has went off the boil to a degree that obviously the manager thinks he can't start.
Playing with a parachute on.
The manager's obviously thought, God, this guy, something's happened and we can't play him. I don't think it's out with Callum McGregor's ability to play in that 10.
No, but it's just that taking Callum McGregor out the number six for me, especially in this game against Rangers. They pinpoint him, they stop him trying to play, and that will create space for other people. And see, when they do try to stop him play, he'll still find space and he'll always make himself available anyway. So for me, it's figure out everything else and leave him there. Whether it's bringing Iwata back, that's fine. But I think Matt O'Reilly's been good recently. He's maybe goals last the previous weekend and then this weekend. He had that reverse ball for Kyogo that he did that wee lovely dink over the keeper and he just managed to get a hand to it. I think if that goes in, Celtic win 2-0, it's game, set and match then, and we don't really think about it. It's just a 2-0, maybe 3-0 victory and we don't really speak about it. But the fact that we dropped points, I think that would have been a typical Celtic goal because it was good play and a good reverse ball from O'Reilly. I'm happy enough with O'Reilly, but I wouldn't be making too many judgments on this one game. I think it was just one of those games for Celtic where we write it off unless it happens again and again. So there's no excuses for it next week because it's a big game. We have a full week's preparation for it. There's no reason why everybody shouldn't be on it. Hopefully Jota might be back where he starts. I don't know. And if Hatate's even fit enough, I don't think there's any way you can start him, to be honest. So I think that midfield will be the midfield, and it looked good when Iwata came on against Rangers in the last game. So hopefully a bit more control.
It's a big call and there's some big players missing for us. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But staying on the Motherwell game, Stephen, you know when you used to get in trouble in school, a teacher would say...
No.
Well, a
no.
teacher would go, for example, Mr. Arbuckle, there's a name I hear far too often. You know, like that sort of thing. I feel like we're getting like that with Haksabanovic. I feel like every week we turn on these mics, we talk about it, we say, oh, he's back, he needs to play, he needs to play. Then he plays. We're a couple of weeks down the line now of Haksabanovic playing. And although Miley says maybe he doesn't really work out on the right-hand side, you're going, where's that player of the month stuff that we saw in December, was it? November? Where's that player of the month stuff now? November's how many months ago, Stephen? December, January, February, March, April, going into May. 6 months.
Ages.
Well, it is. Yeah. I mean, it's about half a season ago. He had one month. In the World good
Cup.
Month.
I think he was injured and then the World Cup as well. So that seems to have completely derailed the season. But he has come in.
The point I'm making is, you know, he can't live off that forever. He needs to pull his finger out.
He does, or lest that be injured as well. Yeah. So,
pop it back in. Yeah. If that's what was making him play so well. Just slip it right back in.
Do whatever. Whatever it takes.
Just explore your body.
Haksabanovic, if you're keen to stop this horribly unpleasant chat about you, pick up your form. Now, Haksabanovic, I'm wary of him now falling into that unfortunate position in a squad where fans start to look at him as if you can't start games, you can only be an impact sub. No one wants that. And it's a shame when that catches on, and it very easily does among fans. You know how these sort of narratives start about players. I don't really believe it just yet, and I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt that he's not playing his preferred position. Now, I have been on record, check the record, bud, as saying, look, kind of tough shit, this is Celtic. If you're thrown into a position, we expect something out of you. You don't get the day off because, sorry, this isn't my preferred position. But I do sympathise in that all of his big moments have been off the left. He even had a couple of really impressive games, or at least one I can remember, when he played almost like it's a name we've invoked already, but Tom Rogic, not that name, the name I said second there. he played that sort of more central role, and he was playing nice wee through balls into Kyogo, one for Abada that he should have scored from as well. So I like him in that position. But on the right side, it just doesn't seem to work for him at all. He just seems like
a totally... Is it a necesity we're playing him there? Because Jota's injured, Abada's injured, we don't really have anyone else that can
Forrest
pick up there.
Forrest is injured as well.
I mean, there are sort of selection headaches going into the Rangers game that we've got, that we'll discuss when we get to that point. But I think, Stephen, you have been particularly pissed off by... we've had it in the group chat, we had it when we were setting up, we had it in the match, at the match podcast. The Motherwell antics are embarrassing, and these but we're seeing it more and more as a way to break up the play against Celtic. Just fake fouls, rolling about, wasting time in every conceivable way just to sort of break up Celtic's rhythm. And what for them a wee bit?
Oh well, it did. I mean, it did get to ridiculous levels. I mean, I've said many times, any regular listeners will know that we are, kind of broadly speaking, we are just sort of like, right, okay, if that's what you need to do to try and get points off Celtic Park, more often at Celtic Park, more often than not, it will not work, but maybe you need to try something or other to try and disrupt Celtic. That's generally the philosophy we adopt around here about these teams' tactics. However, I do still reserve the right to say that's embarrassing when it becomes undeniably embarrassing. And Liam Kelly's antics
at the weekend. Ex-Rangers Liam Kelly.
Yeah, of course. I bet he was popular there, Liam Kelly.
His middle name's Patrick.
Is it? No way.
Hold on. Let me just bring up his Google there. Liam Patrick Kelly. Yes,
Liam Patrick Kelly. And he would have been there when Jimmy Bell was still there, presumably.
Yeah. Best
I bet he was treated really well. Liam, that moment where he was down for ages and ages and ages, and like, I'm just, football seems to have this, exists on its own physical plane where injuries are much more severe than in any other sport or any other walk of life at all, where you can always recover from these things by standing up and stamping your feet four times and then you're absolutely fine. As long as you limp a wee bit for the crowd, everybody's fine with it. It is utterly ridiculous. Have doctors tried this? Oh, by the way, my ACL seems to have exploded. Well, have you tried punching the ground loads of times and then stamping your foot? And because most of these footballers seem to be fine after
This isn't a new thing. This is a sport that had the magic sponge back in the day, or that spray that they put on you. And The problem it comes back to, and you know, we hate to go through it again, but the problem it just comes back to, players knowing that referees don't really have a grip of the game. See, no. If a referee just went, look, I'm not buying that for a minute, so get your ass off the ground and get on with the game, it would stop immediately, but the referees just have no control over the game.
Do you know what? That's my problem. As much as I'm laughing at Liam Kelly for doing that, and for it just, do you know what? It actually reminded me of Dida. Celtic Park when he was brutally assaulted by a fan after Scott McDonald's goal, was it right? Dida must have gotten to a point during that that feigning injury from his assault. He must have got to a point during that where he thought, I'm committed to this now. It's gone beyond the point where I can come back from this. And I think Liam Kelly got to that as well. I can't get back up. I've made such a meal of this. I can't get up. Like, how long have I been down for, ref? So it reminded me of that. But it's mortifying. And my problem with it is, as you've just said, why doesn't the ref say, look, come on, man, we've got a game to play here. I know you're not injured. And we should all be able to tell that there's no injury in the world where you can be unable to stand 1 minute and then take a goal kick the next. There's no injury. Like, if you require treatment for minutes and minutes at a time, it's because you can't stand up, presumably. I mean,
and then it leads us into one of my, I'm not going to bore everyone with that again, but the thing about injury time and stoppages, I'm not going to bore everyone. My point is, every single week, you are the ref, you decide how long the game stops for. Yeah. You can't mentally keep track of how much time you should get at the other side.
No, see the Liam Kelly one as well. It's down to the further away goal than me and Stephen. So you see him down there smashing the ground. You think, or maybe he's went over his knee and we couldn't quite see it or something. You think, right, they're going to need to change their keeper because there's absolutely no way he's getting up from that if that's the way he's feeling. Then he's up and then he launches a kick out and then remembers, oh, I was meant to be injured, and does his wee hanging back. And then he gets the ball again and launches it again, then does it again as if he's stamping down. Like, mate, just give it up.
They couldn't even be bothered keeping up the pretense of getting like a defender to take the goal kicks for him. They couldn't even be bothered with that. Unbelievable.
There we go. We're not bitter or angry about it. We're over it.
It does. It sounds terribly like sour grapes or like
moral crusade.
It's just embarrassing, man. Like, you're a professional athlete, and that is what you're dishing out.
You only do it in football, as Steve says. You only get it in football.
Sounds like entitlement, as if we're expecting these teams to come and play football the way we want them to. No, but again, you draw the line, and there is a threshold that crosses where it becomes absolutely embarrassing. And I will never stop saying that just because, like, we drew the game.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Calling all men. It's time to mind your manholes with Manscaped. Everyone's aware by now that those nose hairs are a major turn-off. That's why Manscaped upgraded with their brand new Weed Whacker 2.0. With improved blades and motor, you can feel the power of that nasty nose hair annihilation in the palm of your hands. This improved Weed Whacker can now be found in their Performance 4.0 package for no additional cost. Save money and attack your nose and ear hairs by going to manscaped.com and using code TIMS to get 20% off, a big discount and free shipping. Manscaped.com using code TIMS.
The premium Manscaped Weed Whacker 2.0 nose and ear trimmer uses a powerful 7,000 RPM motor with an improved steel blade system that upgrades the cutting performance from their first generation to better whack your weeds. The Weed Whacker 2.0 is cordless, rechargeable, and has a battery with up to 45 minutes.
That's a lot of nose hair.
Trimming your nose hair for 45 minutes of runtime. Also, the Weed Whacker 2.0 will be in all Manscaped's tool sets, including the Platinum Package 4.0 and the Performance Package 4.0. So no matter what kit you pick, you will receive the new Weed Whacker 2.0 nose and ear trimmer.
Listen up, save 20% off and free shipping with the code TIMS, T-I-M-S, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code TIMS at manscaped.com. From below to up top, get the best in grooming at Manscaped Shop. In the interest of balance, what I also thought was embarrassing, and Greg, look, we're a fan, I love you, but Greg Taylor's attempt at defending Kevin Van Veen was pretty much, I think part of the problem was, Melly, I don't think Greg Taylor knew when he was one-on-one with Van Veen, and he sort of tied himself in knots there. Van Veen, by the way, who's been excellent this season, scored a hat full of goals from Motherwell. I don't think Greg Taylor was aware of exactly where he was in the pitch and where the goal was. I'm not sure he knew where to go.
Yeah, he gets himself caught, doesn't he? He goes to turn and he just loses all bearings of where he is on the pitch. And that can happen. But the fact that Greg Taylor's left one-on-one with Van Veen from a Celtic corner is pathetic. We're looking to this game next week, and that's where Celtic will get hurt. For Celtic to concede so many goals from their own corners is really poor, and it's been at the highest level. We've been found out a lot of times with it. This one was just shocking. I know we like taking the short corners and all that, but that was really poor to get caught in the edge of the box. One ball, it was a decent pass, but for him to have the full pitch to himself after that one-on-one with Taylor, he's still got a lot to do. Taylor does himself, but good finish from the guy, but it's not acceptable from Celtic defending like that at that point. We are not chasing the game. We don't desperately need to score.
Celtic problems like Greg Taylor problem. You don't want to be too harsh on the guy, but I mean, you're a defender. You're one-on-one. That's bread and butter stuff for a defender, especially a defender like Greg Taylor, who's been pretty good this season. Defensively, that's supposed to be his strong suit. I mean, it's bread and butter stuff. You just need to stand the guy up until reinforcements come.
This is what happens when you're one-on-one. The chance of that happening is probably very high, because the guy goes, he's one-on-one. If I beat him, I've got a shot and goal. If there's two guys there, then it happens. You see it when the corner's taken. Alistair Johnston, I guess, would be the other guy that would go back, is still up there from the attack because Celtic have taken it so quickly. And I know we like to catch teams out, but if Alistair Johnston is seen up there, surely Iwata or McGregor has to realise quickly and go, one is get back instantly. It's poor from Celtic, and I'm only focusing on it because I was at that coaching convention last week, and Ange says Celtic don't work on set pieces. That's where Celtic can see their goals.
Yeah, I mean, it was, again, going back to the Rangers game that we seen a couple of weeks ago, it was all set-piece stuff that Rangers really troubled us on. But do you think that coaching convention sounded really good, Melly, and I think you guys are going to discuss it, aren't you, on the upcoming Breakfast of Champions podcast? That's a weekly podcast that the patrons get, slots in between flagship recordings and covers the Celtic news that we don't cover here. Do you think Greg Taylor should have done better?
Yeah, I think...
I agree with Melly saying, the sort of tactical football side of it, but one-on-one with Van Veen.
Two things. Greg Taylor, at one point, when you watch it back, he turns his back. I think he gets his feet wrong. At one point, his weight just shifts the wrong way. He turns all the way around. There's the picture that's been doing the rounds. It's very Shane Duffy, basically. He's facing the goal where Van Veen's behind
him. The David
Weir
special.
Yeah, of course, the David Weir.
I still don't know what was happening with David Weir in that photo. that famous
senior moment. He turns his back, and credit to Van Veen, who scored a great goal. I mean, it's no getting away from that. It was a great goal. He did what good dribblers do, in that he waited for his opponent to make a mistake and then shifted the ball away from him. And by that point, it's too late. I remember there's been various people talking over the years. I mean, what a comparison this is. But I remember Messi talking about dribbling. And what he does is he waits for his opponent to shift his weight rather than try to knock it past him or whatever. So Van Veen, very like Messi, did that. But he made the right decision. He did the right thing. He waited for Greg Taylor to overcommit himself one way, and he just knocked it past him. So when talking about the players on the scene, Starfelt and I think it was Iwata eventually arrive at the box, but the ball's already in the back of the net. So there is too much distance between Taylor and any potential reinforcements. You're looking at Matt O'Reilly losing the ball on the edge of the Motherwell box, and 7 or 8 seconds later, the ball's in the back of Joe Hart's net. So it wasn't great, to be honest. After that, Van Veen went on another run. He took it out left this time, skinned
Haksabanovic,
was a terrible challenge, to be honest. It's one of those like five-a-sides efforts when you can't be bothered. You'd be moaning at him for that. Come on, stick a foot in.
Jockey him.
So he just skips past him, and I think Greg Taylor again. So he skips past Greg Taylor, beats another couple of players, and gets a wee tame shot off. So the guy is dangerous. He has a handful.
He's one of three players in the league this season with over 20 goals. Or 20, really? He's hit the 20 markers himself. Lauren Shankland, and obviously Kyogo. Shankland, though, is stat padded.
10 penalties,
which is absolutely outrageous. I certainly hope Rangers sign him. You can have him. Him and Tav will be fighting over the penalties.
The amount of penalties they get, they'll get 40 next season.
There'll be plenty of penalties. There'll be plenty of penalties to go around. But I mean, it was a poor performance from Celtic. But as you say, it's in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter for the league. But I think for Ange, it'll matter, because we made this point in the podcast before, and we were talking about it. You know, the standards at Celtic are so high. It's getting to the point now, even over the last 15 or 20 years, that league that Rangers won that didn't happen, the COVID league, right? We were talking about anomalies and blips. That's almost a blip that season, that league that they won. If you think about how that league panned out, were they not 4 or 5 games ahead at one point? We were playing games where like 13 players missing. We had bowling goalie. We had that season was absolute madness. And that's starting to look like a blip. So the standards at Celtic are so high that these wee drops mean that you can't maybe miss milestones like breaking the points record or breaking Brendan Rodgers' consecutive win record. And I just wonder how much you think these things matter to Ange, because I know Ange Postecoglou as a manager doesn't need to prove anything. And he doesn't need to break and have these wee baubles about what previous Celtic managers did or didn't do in order to progress his career anywhere beyond Celtic. But I do think that in a club, in a country, in an environment where even winning a treble barely gets recognised now as an achievement. Yeah. If Ange Postecoglou was to be Celtic manager who beat Brendan Rodgers' record, he's done better than Brendan Rodgers. He won the treble, got more points than Brendan Rodgers, more wins than a row, more goals than Brendan Rodgers. Is there anything this man can't do? You kind of want these wee embellishments on it, and I wonder if Ange is like, feels like that's even just a slight opportunity missed to embellish his record a wee bit.
I think so. The guy wants to win every game, and he wants the performance to match that, doesn't he?
In fact, he wasn't happy after the game.
No, he puts performance first, because he knows if we perform the way we should, we'll win the game and we can get back to winning ways if we do have a freak result. But Saturday didn't feel like that freak result. It didn't feel like Celtic, we missed a hatful of chances. We did miss chances, but we didn't carve them open and didn't have bodies clearing ones off the line or blocks everywhere. It just seemed like the game sort of petered out. And if Celtic did get a goal, we've seen it a lot where we get late goals. Didn't feel like that on Saturday. So I think Ange will be disappointed. He is an ambitious manager. And like, he's here, so he's going to want to do the best they can possibly do. And if there's records there to go for, why not go for them? You need to give players incentives. You need to give them targets at this time, because things can sort of taper off if Celtic could be potential have a massive couple of weeks here where we can get to a final and then we can win the league the following week. You need to keep these players going after that. If we could potentially have a cup final, but we've also got trophy day to be won, so that it's all there for Celtic to go out and do it. These wee blips, I don't think he'll be too disappointed with Saturday in the grand scheme of things, because we got through it with no further injuries. We end up further ahead, but that's not the way the guy works. The guy wants to win every game. So I think it's on him that he's the kind of guy that, in fact, I'll just tell you this now. He said he'd pals over last year for the semi-final. He'd four of his old mates over for the semi-final to watch the game, and then they're all going out for dinner after it. Celtic get beaten the semi-final. He didn't turn up for dinner. He said, that's how I am. I can't handle it if we don't win. So, of course, he's going to want to win games. Of course, he's got to want to better every result, every other manager there. That's the way he is.
An empty seat and walkabout.
Yeah, I know. Freak result. Freaks and Greeks. There we go. Well, luckily, Stephen, it didn't pan out as bad as it could have been. Because, let me just take a moment. What a job Barry Robson. What a job Excel is Barry Robson's doing up in Aberdeen.
Is he second in Michael Beale's table now?
Yes, the Serie A Beale. Yeah.
League hand. He'd be ahead of Beale, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
It could be ahead of it. I mean, I suspected Rangers were going to drop points at Aberdeen last week. I maybe even said it in the podcast. However, after we dropped points, I thought, there's no way. There's no way that Rangers are going to let this slip. But sometimes you just forget that they're not as good as they think they are. They've got serious underperforming players. Aberdeen are the in-form team, I think. Is that seven wins in the trot?
Seven in a row, which is incredible, yeah.
Absolutely incredible. I don't see, I mean, we've spoken definitely in a podcast about how the football clubs in this country are run by people who don't really seem to know ball, who employ bad managers and sign bad players and bad blah, blah, blah. And it all transpires for there. And, you know, I think we made the point before that it's basically inevitable that Barry Robson is going to end up getting that Aberdeen job because the interim guy who does okay for a few games ends up getting the job. But I think now, I mean, how do you not give him the job?
Pretty undeniable now, isn't it? I think it's about 10 games he's managed now, and they lost his very first game, but what you need to remember is that came right off the back of
the next afternoon or a couple of days later.
It was 3 days after they'd lost 6-0 to Hibs. So Barry Robson comes in, they lose their first game, I think it was to St Mirren. Since then, they've only lost to Celtic and won every other game, which is a remarkable record considering where Aberdeen were under Jim Goodwin, losing to Darvo and getting gubbed off Hearts and Hibs. And that horrendous performance at Pittodrie against Celtic. Remember the Callum McGregor goal?
That's where it started.
Yeah, it was. And then chucking that lead away against Rangers a couple of games later. So to have come this far in 10 games is incredible.
He's done very well, and he was very clever in his post-match. I thought he was. He's very humble, very measured. But one thing he was saying was, this is the way we play. You know, this isn't just me coming in as an interim manager. This is the things we've been working on for the past couple of weeks. And obviously all the memes are going about. And I was kind of reminded, he wasn't a fan favourite. I think, did he not spend some time at Rangers, Barry Robson?
Started his career in Rangers youth. I don't know if he ever played for them though.
No, there was pictures of him in a Rangers shirt, but he was a great player for us at that time.
He'd done a great job.
That's better, right? Wasn't a great player. He did a great job for us at a time.
And Hartley came in and transformed that midfield for the running, and just the Christian Daly setting the standards. That's what you want. But like, the team don't play terrible football, and that's good in Scotland. Yeah. That's good enough to win games in Scotland. So Aberdeen have got the budget, they have got the players where they should be finishing third or challenging for third quite comfortably, and they should be able to take a result off Celtic or Rangers. But if your manager has no belief that you can do that, then you don't, like Jim Goodwin didn't, and Barry Robson had belief and went out and done it. Didn't expect it either, to be honest, after Celtic's result. Hilarious when it does happen, because it gives them that bit of hope that, maybe if Clancy hadn't accosted those games and all that, we could be 7 points behind and we've still got a game against them. And then for the less than 24 hours later, well, more than 24 hours actually, it was a half-four kick-off on it, blow it completely and set yourself back. I'm worried about this semi-final next week. They must be terrified after that performance as well.
At least Michael Beale was magnanimous in defeat against Stephen.
Always, yeah.
Another episode of Beale shit hit our screens. Because,
what was your favourite?
I think it was him calling for a VAR check for something that wasn't a foul, would never have been checked for VAR, wasn't even close to a VAR check. I think that was it. I think he also coming out saying, even though Liam Scales, I mean, he didn't mean that. It was obviously obviously a cross, right?
Agent Scales.
Agent Scales. But obviously, you want to be a bit magnanimous in as a defeated opposition manager. But after the game, Michael Beale comes out and goes, in his accent, which I can't do, goes, well, the lad hit it and, you know, he
miskicked
was it. Miskicked, is that what he said? He miskicked and it ends up the back of the net. I'm like, you're so bitter. You are, and the reason he's so bitter, Stephen, is because we've been saying it for, since he walked in the door, His mouth moved like a rat. Squeak, 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 squeak. He cannot stop talking, can he? And he's running out of things. He's blaming the refs, but he's taking credit for Glasgow Derby wins that happened 5 years ago whenever he was first team coach. He's saying that the gap wasn't inherited. He's running out of excuses, this guy.
Yeah, very inconsistent when it comes to giving himself credit as well, because my favourite thing after the game was, I heard it on SportsCenter, I didn't catch much of the game. In fact, I didn't see really any of it at all until I got a message. I wasn't aware of the game because, as you said, like, Aberdeen are not going to take anything off them, especially presented with this chance to cut the gap down a wee bit, go ahead of in the Beale Cup. So I wasn't paying attention until I got a message saying, so if this stays the same, could we have won the league? I was like, oh, let's see what's going on the old telly box, shall we? But my favourite thing was when I heard on Sports Sound, he said, in reference to this result, was that, yeah, but the damage to our season was done before today. Yeah. That's an incredible thing to say.
He also said, this game will cost us next year. So you're just...
Yeah, yeah.
None of this is my fault this season.
Yeah.
Has he not managed more games than Van Bronckhorst this season?
Well, he's been since November or something like that. Yeah. So to be clear, what I'm taking from that, him saying the damage to our season was done before today, is that he's blaming the previous manager for his own defeat. So he was the manager on the day. He's been the manager for 5 months. He's blaming Giovanni Van Bronckhorst for that result 5 months after that guy was sacked. That's an outrageous thing to say. Such a passing of the buck. It's just not the done thing. Imagine, now, Ange Postecoglou would have more right to do this. Imagine Ange had come in last season, lost that game at Hearts in the first game, lost it at Livingston.
Like, well,
this is Lennon. Sorry. Sorry about that, Les. What were you meant to do? He would have more of a claim to do that because it was his team that he'd taken over, not 5 months into the job. I remember I heard Arsenal were going to Anfield a few weeks ago, and Mikel Arteta was asked about their terrible record at Anfield, going stretching back 10, 11 years to the start of the last decade. Almost nothing to do with him. He's only been the manager for about 3 years, but did he say, ask Arsene about that, it's nothing to do with me? No, he didn't. He just said, look, that has to change. That has to change, and that's our job to change it. He just took responsibility for it. It's the done thing. It's incredibly disrespectful to be out there blaming a previous manager 5 months into the job for your own performance. After a change in personnel, after a transfer window, he's got his own players in, he's got Todd Cantwell, he's got Raskin, all these top class players in, to still be blaming Van Bronckhorst, to be subtly blaming Van Bronckhorst is outrageous for the guy. And it strikes me as an utter charlatan. Now, it doesn't mean that they are incapable of getting results against Celtic. That's not the case. I don't think there's enough between the teams to be confident.
Completely write them off.
Yeah, exactly. It's not the Brendan Rodgers versus Clint Hill era and all that. That's not going to happen. But I don't buy this guy for a single second as a real manager at all. It just, everything about the guy is so, it's slimy. And I don't just mean physical. I just mean everything. He just try to maneuver himself out of any blame whatsoever. It's embarrassing.
It's one of these things where he's kind of running out of excuses. We said this, you said that, Melly, on the run up to the Glasgow Derby at Celtic Park. He says, look, if we beat Rangers here, they're out of excuses. They are out of excuses. Now, looking at the big book of Glasgow Derby cliches, they say, number one on the list, the form book goes out the window. Yep. And to be honest, I don't normally agree with that. I normally think that the team in form tends to be the team that wins the game. However, it would be nice if the form book went out the window in this one, because Celtic coming off the back of a draw, Rangers coming off the back of a loss, it's not going to be a slobber knocker of a match if we carry the form of these two teams into this fixture coming up. And somehow I don't think it will.
No, I don't think so. I think both teams will be on it, to be honest. And I think they need to be.
Sorry, let me. I don't think we will. I don't think we'll carry our form into this one.
Yeah, I hope not. We've not been great for a couple of weeks, but that's still enough for Celtic to be very good. So I think Celtic just need to get back to what they do best. Jota being back would make a huge difference. Going into Hampden, it's going to be difficult. But look, if this one is the one, because yes, we beat them at Celtic Park, but it was these last three games. If we could get out of these unscathed, then Michael Beale has got nowhere to go. He has one bad result next season from the knives been out for him, but look, they might win the dead rubber at Ibrox. So what? Yeah. But if Celtic can get through this semi-final and beat them, their knives will be out for him already. Yeah. He's got nowhere to go. The meltdown after the game the other week was special. The one so far.
Clancy has blood on his hands. I honestly even saw that. Clancy has blood on his hands.
Right. So we're currently missing it, but the phone in tonight will be full of them. If any Celtic fan phones in that, you're a disgrace. But we just need to let it play out and hope Celtic can turn up to this game, play the way we can. And if we can beat them, I think he's toast. I think he's toast, because he's just going to be couple of bad results away from them going, this guy's no got it, and it's not going to take much.
We were on the Overlap, which is out at the moment. You can check that out on the Overlap's YouTube channel. It was a sort of debate, Glasgow Derby debate, and there was a lot of talk on that about progress, what represents progress for Rangers. And just cards on the table, I'm cautious about this game. Worried is not the right word, but I'm cautious. I'm aware that this fixture can have a sting in the tail, and I know that Rangers have beaten us at Hamden before. I know it's, they can do it. And I know, as Melly says, I acknowledge that we've not been playing very well recently. But there was a lot of talk about progress for Rangers. And I think the difficulty Rangers, the difficulty is the thing Celtic have got in their favour is, who cares? Who cares if we don't win a treble? We won the league. We've beaten the Rangers plenty of times. Obviously, we want to win the treble, but this is a mere bauble on our season. We're going to win the league. We're going straight into the Champions League. Champions again, we will have the party, we've invited, we've bought our suits, the booze is on ice, we're going, right? Rangers have got almost nothing to celebrate unless they win this here, right? But there's a lot of talk about progress. Last season, Rangers won the Scottish Cup, got to Europa League final under Giovanni Van Bronckhorst.
Yes.
And I think by this time, last season, there's only 6 points in it.
Yeah.
There's 6 points in it going into the split last season. This season, Rangers could feasibly end up with nothing at all in the trophy cabinet, and if we beat them at Ibrox, 16 points. but they're calling that progress. They're saying that that's progress on from Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. It's like the Emperor's New Clothes here. And I think what Melly says is, if we beat them at Hampden and take the title and take the trophy and get another trophy in the trophy cabinet up at Parkhead, it lays down a massive marker for it. Completely re-establishes Celtic's dominance in Scottish football. It wasn't they win a league, we win a league, then maybe they challenge for the league. It was we win 9, they win 1, we snatch 1 back, and then next season, full foot in the throat, full dominance.
Yeah, I never thought I'd say this, but I'd like to hear more from you.
I'm done, I'm spent.
Absolutely, a big opportunity, and I think it would be foolish of us to completely dismiss the idea of form and momentum and all that. I know none of us are doing that, but we are missing key players to this team. Again, we can't simply ignore that, because you have to correlate those, you have to tie those things in. We're not in particularly great form. We're missing Jota and Hatate.
Thank you, players.
Exactly. So those two things are, you know, fairly related in my opinion. So I am not going into this thinking we're going to just steamroll over the top of them. I don't think that's the case at all. However, I'm very confident about it.
Yeah? Unlike me.
I'm confident that if Celtic turn up, we still get the players to get the job done. Abada could be possibly back as well. It might be a Jong must have forgot for Abada, because he seems to have sort of drifted from the consciousness, because his injury tied in exactly with all the talk about him not signing a new contract and maybe moving on from the club. So maybe subconsciously we've all kind of moved on from Leal Abada, but he's still here, still capable of putting in a shift, certainly against Rangers. Barisic will not want to see him on the team sheet. So maybe very confident is pushing it, but I am confident that Celtic, if they can sort of shake off the last performance against Motherwell and get back to the way we know we can play, then I think it's there for the taking. I think Rangers seem to have taken a bit of a knock recently. The sheen of the confidence that surrounded them over the last few weeks seems to have gotten a little bit dull, a little
bit
dusty.
Two losses in a quick succession.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a cup semi-final. It's going to be a tough game.
Aye, so I think, as you're saying, we've got big players out.
Yeah.
There's no denying that. We might go into this with some major players that have hurt Rangers in the past missing from the team. Another thing to weigh into is, just need to get a result in one of these Glasgow derbies. I mean, we can't green and whitewash them again, can we? Well, we wouldn't be green and whitewash, but we can't go through the whole season without them picking up one win. So you're looking at one of these fixtures going, right, what one will they get? Now, the league fixtures are not out. They've been postponed whilst TV and apparently the police have an argument over when the fixtures are going to take place. mind blown because everyone involved in football knew this was happening.
Yeah.
Everyone in football. Now, there'd been, wait, was it last season we beat Rangers more or less to decide the league? It's happened recently, yeah. hasn't it? Yeah, it was yeah. last season. Did the world end? Did Glasgow City Centre get set on fire? Nothing happened. There's cup finals between Celtic and Rangers, but it's all decided on the day. There's a cup semi-final, but it's all decided on the day. This nervousness about there's not even going to be any Celtic fans at Ibrox. So
are you suggesting even that the computer, the highly sophisticated computer, the fixtures computer, spat out Celtic at Ibrox on the coronation weekend, a big weekend for the loyal subjects out yes. there, and could potentially win the league, and they've just control alt delete hit. No, are you sure? No, we will lose any save
Total
data.
Yes, yeah, basically. No, absolutely terrible.
Tomorrow, something like that, it'll be slightly delayed.
Pulling plugs in the computer. No, I just think that there's too much being made of this. Maybe it's for TV. Maybe they want to televise Celtic winning, so they're going to jiggle the fixtures about. I don't know, but they should have been out by now, and it's just another episode in the league that hates itself.
We're going to end up having to play it. Remember, was it that Fenish Varos game? It was like 3 o'clock on a Thursday or something. Yeah, just throw it out there.
It'll be on after the news. Or just anything. But I think the cup semi-final, it would be great to win it. We're going in it a bit nervous. Stephen, you're quite confident for it.
You've talked me out of it.
Good. We need to talk you down.
I think that just because these games are tight, and although we did beat them last time, we got a decent result at Ibrox, the games are tight and they can swing either way sometimes. And I really worry about set pieces. Last time, Rangers didn't play well and got two goals from set pieces. The cup final, they get a goal from a set piece, that's where they hurt Celtic, and that's where because Celtic are lacking that bit of creativity right now, that's where these games can be won. If Celtic aren't going to score at one end doing that and are likely to concede at the other end doing that, it makes for worrying. But if Celtic turn up and play the football kind of like they did in the cup final, I think they done well enough in that final, and we created goals that Celtic score in those games. Didn't do that in the last game, but we've still got Kyogo.
Set pieces is a major concern. There's no getting away from it. I remember the cup final, they got a couple of free kicks in very dangerous areas. And I remember absolutely bricking it. Towards the end, both Tavernier and Barisic are standing over a free kick in both of their areas because either one of them could hit it.
The last league game as well. The last Morelos league game, had that one off Jack.
Yep, the last league game, Tavernier obviously scored that one. And then Barisic got one that he ballooned over the bar in the last couple of minutes. But that's in the right position. He just made a mess of it. That's in the position they want to be winning free kicks. None of that. Just absolutely no silly free kicks on the edge of the box. We can't afford that at all because we're not traditionally all that great at dealing with them.
Well, on the morning of the game, we will be live here in the studio with the cup semi-final breakfast. That'll be for patrons, patreon.com/20minutetimes. You can support us there. If you were watching this on YouTube, please subscribe. Over half the people that watch this on YouTube aren't yet subscribed. Subscribe, hit the bell. We will be back with a match reaction podcast. We'll be back with the flagship next week. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. See you next week.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.